Hey everyone, Jody here. Like all of you, I woke up or was awoken by the very big news that President Trump has apparently tested positive for the coronavirus. As you know, one of the reasons that Nikki and I are doing this podcast is because we think there are lots of echoes in political history that can help us process the very rocky present. And one of the very first episodes we did on the show, I think it was the second episode ever, was about President Woodrow Wilson getting influenza in 1919 during that pandemic. Since we did that way back in April, and a lot of you may be new listeners to the show, we're going to repost that into the feed now. I don't want to make a habit of this. This isn't a breaking news podcast, but this does kind of feel like a break glass in case of emergency type situation. And maybe there is something about that Wilson and 1919 story that can help you navigate today's news. So again, keep in mind, this was recorded back in April, but here we go. And we'll be back in your feeds with a brand new episode, as always, this Sunday. Thanks. Hello and welcome to This Day in Esoteric Political History from Radiotopia. My name is Jody Avergan. This day, April 2nd, 1919, Woodrow Wilson has the flu. The influenza pandemic is sometimes called the 1918 flu pandemic. It started in spring 1918, but it was the second wave, as we are all learning, in the fall of 1918 that was the most devastating, with the disease spreading into 1919. That is when President Wilson reportedly caught the flu either right before or right after he arrived in Paris for another round of talks to try and bring an end to the First World War. We're joined, as always, by Nicole Hemmer of Columbia University. I'll lay out what we know and don't know about this moment in a second. But we should say right off the bat, Nikki, that there's a little bit of controversy about whether he actually had the flu or there were some other things going on.
Yeah, so one of the things that people know about Wilson and his health is that he suffers a pretty serious stroke near the end of his presidency. So for a long time, historians talked about this illness as a mini stroke that he had had. But if you actually look at the set of symptoms that he had, including a really high fever, none of them really fit a stroke, and they all sound a whole lot like this pandemic that was ravaging the world at the time.
Yeah, I mean, by all accounts, and we'll talk a little bit about what the ramifications of this were, but he was very out of it. He was fever struck. He was sort of deteriorating rapidly over the course of these negotiations in Paris. One thing that's interesting is that it was underplayed at the time, I guess. You know, there was these questions about whether it was actually flu, but did they try and cover this up, or was it just that sort of reports were murky? Like, what did people know at the time?
Yeah, so when this was first reported, it was just reported that he had a cold. And this probably isn't surprising. I mean, was it a cover-up? You know, they didn't often tell in detail the kinds of illnesses that presidents had at the time. There's a much bigger cover-up that will happen later in his presidency about his health conditions. But in this case, not wanting to scare people in the midst of both a war and a pandemic, they decided to just say, hey, it's a cold, he'll be fine.
So I want to get to some of the sort of bigger questions around this, because for one, I mean, it's really kind of stunning how precarious of a situation this is. We have a leader at a meeting with all of the what is known as the Big Four who are negotiating the end of World War I. Wilson's doctor says, quote, "the whole of civilization seemed to hang in the balance." Is that a doctor being a little dramatic when he's writing his memoirs? Or, I mean, is this one of those moments?
This is really one of those moments. I mean, here it is after the most devastating war that the world really had ever seen. And now they're trying to figure out how to bring it to a close. And somebody like Wilson would have been the perfect person to have at that table. This is something he had been thinking about, how to win the peace, for a really long time. And now he shows up at the peace table and he's kind of a mess.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like, it comes down to the fact that he just can't concentrate as well as he normally would. He doesn't bring it. And it's a reminder that, you know, we elect these people and we're electing real people who have to go into real meetings with other real people, and what they say and how they behave in those actual meetings is just as important as, you know, all the policies and all the track record and all that stuff. It comes down to the sort of behavior in that moment. And I mean, there are sort of theories about the fact that World War I may have ended very differently had Wilson been on his A game, in particular with regards to what happened to Germans.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that Wilson really wanted was a gentle peace with Germany. He was really worried about a vindictive peace that would be about score settling, because he knew that they needed to rebuild a peaceful, functioning, cooperative Europe after this if they were going to maintain peace beyond the end of this. And, you know, it was something that normally he would have pushed for. I mean, the flu is part of it. He also gets delivered a pretty devastating blow in the midterm elections of 1918, where Republicans sweep. And so there's a sense the country doesn't necessarily want everything that Wilson wants. But I mean, Jody, you've had the flu before. Can you imagine going to this table with the three other leaders of these countries and barely being able to sit up, much less, you know, argue forcefully for the thing that you believe in?
So one big question, I mean, this is sort of stating the obvious, but I kind of want to end on this note, but like, you don't get to choose when pandemics hit, right? And I think it gets to this larger theme that, you know, so much of a presidency is defined by things you can't plan for. And it's really about how do you react in that moment. And I mean, this seems like a perfect example of that.
Yeah, I mean, the tendency at the time was the right thing to do is to downplay what's happening because people have just come through this horrifying war. The last thing that they need is to be told that there's this other invisible enemy that's going to kill millions of them. But of course, what we learn from it is when you don't have a handle on it, when you don't tell people what's happening, it actually just leads to even worse outcomes. And that's what happened. I mean, the press at the time was censoring news of this pandemic. And that's not the only reason that millions and millions of people died, but it was a contributing factor.
So I guess one more question on the flu itself. I mean, if the public had somehow known, I guess this happens relatively late that he gets it, but I'm trying to imagine, you know, do these moments where like, oh my gosh, a president got this, do those break through? I mean, do those make a difference?
I think they do make a difference in the sense that you see that no one has the power or the money to avoid it, right? Like it's one of those things that you can't negotiate your way out of. Like, we're all vulnerable to it. I do think it's fair at the same time, though, that like seeing a president stricken with something like this can scare people, particularly at a time when they're already pretty scared. It can be destabilizing.
There's this little meme or whatever you want to call it floating around, like people use this term of like, we must protect so-and-so. And I think it was pre-pandemic, but now people are saying, you know, we must protect, pick, you know, Beyonce or whoever, but also, you know, politicians, like we have to keep these people healthy so that they can do their jobs because their jobs have massive ramifications.
Yeah, I mean, let's just put it out there. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is somebody people have been trying to wrap in bubble wrap since 3 years ago. And again, like it's been a powerful meme to say, like, do you want to be the person who gave this to a person who gave it to Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Oh, wow. I hadn't really heard that framing, but yeah, I guess that's something to think about. Okay, we're going to wrap it up there. But first, a few other things that happened on this day, April 2nd, in other years. In 1870, the first female candidate for president, Victoria Woodhull, announced her candidacy by writing a letter to the editor of the New York Herald. 1917, Janet Rankin was sworn in as the first female congressman. And in 1964, on April 2nd, Malcolm X gave his ballot or the bullet speech. So every once in a while, we'll give you a taste of other things that happened on this day. By the way, this is what we're doing on our social feeds as well, posting a few times a day about other things that happened. So make sure you check those out. All right, Nicole Hemmer, thank you as always. This was great.
Thanks, Jody.
This Day in Esoteric Political History is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. Our researcher and producer is Jacob Feldman. If you have any ideas for an upcoming topic or a date, get in touch. You can let us know a specific date or just a rough topic that you want us to talk about and we can find a peg for it. You can email us thisdaypod@gmail.com. There's also a contact form at thisdaypod.com. My name is Jody Avergan. Thanks again for listening.
Radiotopia.